you so much for being in God's house today. And I appreciate Brother Lawson and Miss Linda back there. And appreciate y'all so very much. And your kindness always letting us come and be a part of a service or two every year. And we want to say thank you so much for allowing us the privilege to be here today. And I always love coming here because I know we're going to get some home cooking. Can I get an amen on that? So I seen that in the bulletin earlier, and I said, praise the Lord, he didn't let me down again. So, but praise God for his goodness and all that he's done for us, and we give him praise and glory and honor. And it has been very busy this year already. We responded to one of the tornadoes that hit over here in the Tennessee area just a few weeks ago, and then a lot of different things going on. And then we're still in the process. Hurricane Idalia hit in August of last year, the end of the year, and we were staged at our youth camp there in South Georgia. And it was right down below Valdosta, Georgia, right on the Florida-Georgia line. And we were staged there to go into Florida to go help whichever side the storm came in on. And a lot of those storms, you'll see the weather folks, they'll try to predict which area it's going to hit. And that storm, I think, moved 24 different times. Went toward Tampa, then it came back out, then it went toward the north side of Florida, and it finally came in around Steinhatchee, the north side, and where the camp is, Perry, Florida, all of that, it came straight over us. So we got the eye of the storm. And so we were set up there, Brother Lawson, going in, you know, to help the folks there in Florida. And needless to say, we didn't know it was going to come right over us. I have a mobile camper that I take with us for the crew to stay in. And so I put it under the gym, just trying to hope that, you know, it wouldn't blow it over. And so it was protected under the gym. My wife was inside the camper when it came through, and we were on the outside, and I was playing Jim Cantora, you know, the Weather Channel guy. And so I had my hat on, and all of a sudden, one of the big gusts of wind came through, blew my hat off, and I said, did y'all get that on video? That's perfect video, that the storm actually came over us. And you could had a gentleman there that works for the Air Force, and he was actually giving us play by play. This is what you're about to get. This is what you're about to get. And he does the weather for the Air Force when they have to go in and do different maneuvers. And so anyway, it came over us, and literally probably 250 trees later on the property, it took down, took several roofs off the buildings, a lot of different damage that it did. All the awnings that went out in front of the dorms are gone. We just got put back last week, the main porch area off the Snack Shack building, and it totally just lifted it up, and it flew probably from here to the road through the air, like that, and then landed on the bathhouse where the campground part is at, and just tore all of that up. We finally got that put back this week, and so a lot of different things we're trying to do. Our camp start June the 1st, so I don't have long to get the rest of this put back together. We're still trying to do all the grading and all of that where it tore up all the trees and things of that nature. So Hearts with Hands has been busy still down in the South Georgia, North Florida area, helping there, and then also with our camp, trying to get it put back together. So pray for us. Pray that the Lord will help us. We've got hundreds of students that will be coming in this summer, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in their lives, and just see the Lord, how he maneuvers and how he works in the hearts and lives of this generation, to see them change for the glory of God. So, again, thank you for allowing us to be here today. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. This being Memorial Day, I wanted to read this verse in your hearing. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And a very familiar verse in verse number 14. Verse number 14 together. Let me just say from the onset of this thought today, America needs the Lord. America needs the Lord. Our churches need the Lord. And our homes need the Lord. Have we not tried for years our way and see where it's got us? And now with everything that is happening literally around the world with Israel, the Middle East unraveling on every side, some of you that when I was here last year signed up, we were going to go to a trip together to Israel. And it got canceled. We wasn't able to go because of the war breaking out there, and still in chaos to this day, and will be probably for months and months to come. But you think of all of that, and you think if there's ever been a time that we ought to wake up, and the old phrase, smell the coffee, it ought to be now, that we understand we're in trouble as a nation. We understand that we're in trouble as a country. We understand that we're in trouble as a community, and what we have seen come to pass in the last few days, the last few hours, ought to awaken the house of God to the reality, if there's ever been a time we need a revival that changes us, it's now. And it's got to begin with God's people. And in this passage of Scripture, Solomon, through the Holy Spirit, is beginning to pin down some words. And I'll reiterate some of the things that happens in chapter number 6 to get us to chapter 7. But here's the famous verse that everyone knows. If my people, not the world, not the carnal crowd, not the people away from truth, if my people, which are called by my name, the name Jehovah, Jesus, the Son of God, shall humble themselves and pray. First step. Humble. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me. Lord, I need you. Humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Father, for the next few moments or two, I pray you would give us a thought for these people today, Lord, that would help us to see our need and help us to reflect on who you are and what you've done for us in days gone by. But God, give us an urgency that we need you again in this nation. God, we've tried it ourselves. America's tried it their way. Our country has tried it without you. God, we've told you many times we no longer need you on the courthouse lawn. We no longer need you in our public buildings. We no longer need you in our school arenas. But, oh God, that's the farthest thing from the truth. We definitely need you to protect this land. God, we need your blessing. We need your favor. We need your help more than any other time that I've ever been alive. So, God, I pray today that you would take us and use us and fill us. And, God, let this thought today, America's only hope is in the Lord, be a blessing to this congregation, to that individual that may be watching today on live stream or television to come. God, I pray that you would speak to them. Lord, those that may be there as an agnostic, an unbeliever, God, that says that you're not real, God, make yourself real to them today. And God, we'll thank you for all that you do. Hide us in the blood behind the cross. May Jesus be magnified in this house. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Psalms 33:12 makes this statement, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Our flag and our motto as a nation is one nation under God. I wonder, have we forgotten that that nation is us? Have we have thrown God out of the picture in so many circumstances and situations that we have forgotten in God we trust? Ronald Reagan, our great politician and our great statesman of past, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And I believe that we are seeing a nation going under because we have forgot the paths of our God. John Adams also stated, it is the duty of all men in society, publicly in stated seasons, to worship the Supreme Being, the great Creator, the preserver of the universe. And no subject shall be hurt, restrained in his person, liberty, or estate for worshiping God in the manner most agreeable to the dictates of his own conscience. Benjamin Franklin, that wise man, having all ages thought government necessary for the good of mankind, and that wise governments always thought religion necessary for the well-ordering and well-being of a society. James Madison, we have staked the whole future of the American civilization and the American experiment, not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves, now listen, according to the Ten Commandments of God. Look what our statesmen of years gone by, how they formed this nation, how they founded this nation, how God used them to create this nation. And then look at us in 2024, how far we have come from the statesmanship and from the men and women of faith that founded this great nation. George Washington, no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. God has blessed us. God has helped us. God has taken care of us year after year. And somewhere I believe our nation has forgotten the goodness of Almighty God. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. See the wording. See how that they stood for truth, how they stood on the principles of the Word of God. But now, notice what Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And we are watching a climax come to pass before our very eyes of how a nation that used to be blessed of God, that used to prosper in the favor of God, that used to have the hand of God, and we've told him we no longer need him in our school arena, our public arena. And a lot of churches now have thrown the Holy Spirit and thrown Jesus out of the midst of the congregation, and we feel like that we can do it ourselves. May God awaken the church of the living God to the reality. If there's ever been a time we need the hand and the favor of God, it is in this day we're living in. I believe we are watching America's descent because we have forgotten the God of our fathers. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set, according to Proverbs 22. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. To that kind of providence we owe this happy opportunity and this happy consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten, listen, have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs that I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Oh, if we could get back to those principles again, if we could get back to that kind of living again, if we could get back to that kind of thought process again, there is still hope for America. We can still see this nation change for the glory of God if it would start at the people of faith, if my people, which are called by my name. Thomas Jefferson, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction of the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God. God has given us his gift. God has blessed us more than we can ever comprehend. God has taken care of you and I time and time again. But somewhere, I believe in the busyness and the fast-paced society that we live in, we don't stop for a moment and think about it is God's blessing, God's hand, God's providence, God's help that we have been blessed with. It is not the governmental hand, it is not the institution's hand, but it's the hand of an almighty God that has blessed us beyond comprehension. May we never forget God's blessing on this land. America's descent. Could it be that we have forgotten the God of our fathers and the God that has given us our foundations? Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Every person inside of this building ought to be holding the standard high, ought to be holding the word of God high. Don't let this nation die on your watch and mine. May they be some watchmen on the wall that are saved by the grace of God. In these last days, when others are quitting, when others are throwing in their spiritual towel, maybe there'll be a church like this that'll keep the trumpet sounding, that'll keep the beckoning call going out, that'll be challenged by the word of God and saying, this day, we're not going to throw in our towel. We're not going to quit. We will stand true and firm for the grace of God and live for Jesus in these last days. May God challenge us. America has forgotten the God of our fathers, our foundations, but have we forgotten our faith? God has been better to us again than we ever deserved. If you are saved by the grace of God, Jesus loved you with an everlasting love. He gave his life for you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're no longer a citizen of this society, but he's made you a citizen of heaven, and one glorious daybreak we'll split the eastern sky with him, and we'll be with him forevermore to the church of the living God. Let us not forget the faith of the Son of God. Let us not forget the sacrifice and the labor and the intensity of the cross and what Jesus had done for every person inside of this building. But may we march on until the trumpet sounds, declaring the triumphant faith of the Son of God, and say, by the grace of God, we're going to walk on in the faith that God has put inside of every person in this building. May I not forget. I believe when America begins to forget, she goes on a descent and a decline that causes a demise to come to this nation. What are we producing now in the streets? Chaos. What are we producing now in the streets of our government buildings? Chaos. What are we producing all around our land? Chaos. We are seeing a land literally upside down and turned around because we have forgotten the God that made us great.
You see the chaos in the streets all over the country. You see the rioting. You see how that they are now calling for the demise of Israel, how they are standing on college campuses denying that Israel even exists and want to take away the liberties of that great nation and that little country called Israel. I'm telling you, when we forget Israel, we are out of business. That's the apple of Jesus's eye. And we need to protect them. We need to hedge them in. We need to be there with them. Because if God's going to bless America, we've got to bless Israel and take care of her. And may God challenge us not to let the chaos come and the unbelief come inside of the house of God. But may we be students and true students of the Word of God that say in these last days, God, help me to stand for truth and right in these days. A country that is in chaos, a country that is living in sin. Now everything that used to be black and white is now called a gray area. Everything that used to be wrong is now called right. And you see on every side, literally, a nation that is trying to turn away the principles of the Word of God in our very foundations, in our truth. A country that is living in sin, a country that is filled with chaos, has now become a church that has become silent on her watch. That's why I appreciate Pastor Lawson, because for years he's been the same until he's been to this day, standing for right, standing for truth. May God challenge us that on our watch, we need to no longer be a church that is silent. See, the lie of Satan has always been the church should not be a part of government. But the reality is the church needs to be a part of making the decisions and making the realities and the principles of our government. Far from it should we be silent on our responsibility. Far from it should we be silent on the day that we're living in. But the church ought to have a sounding voice and ought to be a sounding station into the politicians' ears in these last days, that they understand there's consequences when you vote against the principles of God's Word. See, we used to have statesmen that stood for truth, stood for right. Now we have politicians that have been bought off by all of the great things that are out there to pocket their wallets instead of staying true to their beliefs. That's why I challenge politicians, and if you're one in this building, I'm praying for you, but I challenge you, stand for truth. Stand for right. Stand for the principles of the Word of God. Don't let the money and the political realm persuade you. Stay firm and true to the principles of God's Word. It's our responsibility at the church to get involved. Do you know how that most governments in our communities have been taken over? It's by our local voting. It's our local institutions. It's our local politicians is where they're throwing millions and millions of dollars in to try to dictate the school boards and try to dictate even our senators and politicians inside of our local governments. And literally, we are watching a change and a fruition of that change come to pass right before our very eyes. And if there's ever been a day that the church needs to go vote, it is in this day we're living in. You say you shouldn't say that. Well, that's why I'm saying it. Because there ought to be days that we understand our responsibility. And if you're going to complain, vote it. And if you're going to complain and you don't vote, then I don't want to hear it. Huh? Do you understand that the majority of the church no longer involves their self in the political process? And could it be that's the reason, Brother Charles, that we're losing our victories and losing our institutions and losing the availability that we used to have to God doing things in our local governments? Huh? Yeah. You say, I don't know if I like that. Well, stand in line. There'll be some others that won't either. But I'm telling you the truth. We need to get involved in the process. Don't become a church that is silent and still. America's decision, America's demise brings us to our third thought, America's decision. What will we do? And here's where 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, in verse chapter number 6, if you want to turn there, in verse number 37, the scripture tells us, yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. What Solomon was saying, if we confess that we messed up, it's not my brother that's done it, it's not my sister, but it's me. If we confess that somewhere we've left God out, somewhere the church has got silent. Somewhere the church has grown still. Somewhere the church has become an institution that is no longer vibrant in the community. See, it used to be that they would make the laws according to the dictates of the house of God. Huh? And now they don't even ask the house of God. They're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing. And you look at this, and the scripture tells us that Solomon is saying, Lord, if we bring our petitions to you, if we come to you and confess that we have messed up, then hear from the heavens, even thy dwelling place, that their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, verse 40, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, notice chapter number 7 and verse number 1. We never read this. We never understand how they come to verse number 14. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. If we ever get ourselves in line with the Lord, the glory of the Lord can still fill the Lord's house. His presence, His power, His providential care, His goodness, His mercy, His grace can still be extended and expanded to the house of God even in these last days. He's just looking for some people somewhere that will own up. We're not where we need to be with Him. So the decision has to come. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The first step is getting humble. Not proud. Not arrogant. Not filled with yourself. Not a selfie generation that we're raising in this day. That everywhere you go and you're at the table eating lunch and we're doing this. Huh? Over a trillion pictures will be taken this year of people doing this. Huh? My mama trying to figure out how to do that. I'm saying, Elise, my daughter, why did you give her an iPhone? She still needs one of them flippers. That all she got to do is pick it up and hear it and dial it. No, she's got the iPhone now like everybody else. And you see all of this stuff. And we're involved in ourselves. We're communicating in ourselves. We're literally caught up in ourselves. And in the last days, what did the scripture tell us? We'll be lovers of our own selves. A selfie generation, we are there. And if there's ever been a day that we need to humble ourselves, get back in tune with God, and understand we are not all that. Huh? I'm arrived. You've not arrived. Every person in this building needs help from God. And humble ourselves and pray. Take a moment, take a time out and say, Lord, we need your help. We've tried it ourselves and it's got us in trouble. Lord, we need your help. What if the church would go back to praying? What if the people would go back to praying? What if us as God's people would go back to praying? What a difference it could make in our day that we're living in. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That means, Lord, I'm tired of going the world's way. I'm turning to you. Then will I hear from heaven. Promise. And will forgive their sin. Promise. And will heal their land. Promise. God's looking to you. God's looking to me. We must repent. We must return. And we must have God to give renewal and revival back to the household of faith. Amen. If there's ever been a time we need the help of God, it is in this day we're living in. If there's ever been a time we need the strength and the hand of God and the favor of God on us, it's in this day that we're living in. And I challenge you, church, on this Memorial Day, don't forget not only the sacrifice and the labor of those that have went to the front lines on your behalf that you could sit in this building today. Huh? The reason you're able to sit on the pew that you're sitting on is because somebody fought and paid the price to keep America free. But think about all the soldiers of the cross, our Sunday school teachers that has taught our little boys and our little girls for years. Think about all the Sunday school teachers that have taught our teens for years. Think about all the Sunday school teachers that have paid the price and labored and prayed. You are warriors of the faith, and I salute you on this Memorial Weekend. I think about Pastor Lawson. I salute this dear man of God for all the years and the labor and the faithfulness that he has given to the service of God behind this sacred desk. And I count it an honor and a privilege to stand with him and to say, by the grace of God, let us keep on the firing line until you call us home. By the grace of God, let us keep the faith that you placed inside of us. By the grace of God, let us stay challenged in these last days to do our part, to reach as many as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's a work for us to do. And I challenge you, every student, every individual, every family that has been impacted by the preaching of the Word of God from this place, from every Sunday school teacher that has been helped and blessed, by every Sunday school teacher that has given their life to help reach a child or reach a teenager or to be in front of the adult class, to every teacher that has given of their time and their talents and their treasures, we salute you. Let us not forget that all of this comes to pass because people have engaged themselves in the work of Christ, in the labor of the gospel, and to reach people. And may we be challenged on our watch not to give it up, not to lose heart and lose hope, but may we get on the firing line and say, by the grace of God, let us stand true and firm in these last days until Jesus comes. Let us keep the triumphant call going and the trumpet call going, and let people know that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in these last days. And I say, praise his holy name. Let's stand all over the building. May you be challenged today
that it's all of our responsibilities to keep the light on at the house of God. It's all of our responsibilities to stand true to the work of God in these days. And if we grow cold and weary in well-doing, how easy it is for others to just fall right in line with us. So I challenge our Sunday school teachers. I challenge those that are in leadership. I challenge those that participate in the ongoings of this congregation. Stand up. Live for Jesus. Don't let your love grow weary. Don't let your light begin to wane. Keep the fire burning on the inside of your life and on the inside of your heart. And may you be challenged today. You still have a responsibility to keep the faith and to love Jesus and to honor the Lord and to keep sharing that light of the gospel. To every person that's a member of this great church, may God challenge you today. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to let the light so shine before men that they may see Christ inside of you. It's our responsibility on the workplace, at the workplace. It's our responsibility at the schoolhouse. It's our responsibility on the college campus. It's our responsibility at the doctor's office or at the drugstore or at Walmart or wherever we go. It's our responsibility to let our light shine in these last days. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep the faith. Love Jesus. Stay in love with Jesus. Stay in tune with the gospel. Let Jesus continue to help you in these last days that you'll be a child of faith that walks in the glory and the power of a living God. Amen. And be people of faith. Be people that honor the Lord. Be people that stand upon the truths of God's word. And let's pray for our leaders. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for those that are in responsibility. Let's pray for those that are in leadership. God, would you get a hold of them? He has power. He has the ability. Don't give up. Believe the Lord. Get involved. Do your part. Let's see God do something in these last days for the glory of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that we need you back in America again. God, our flag stood for something and still does. God, let us hold that banner high. But above that flag is the Christian flag. Let us hold that banner even higher. And Lord, I pray that you help us to stand true to you and for you in these last days. God, give this church faith. God, give this church strength. God, give this church power. God, that they can influence thousands. As Brother Charles is on radio and television, God, all of the masses that's watching every week, God, I pray that you would speak to them. And Lord, let them realize that Jesus could be Lord of their life. And we'll give you praise and glory for all that you do. God, help us be a church that prays for not only our country, our community, and our church, but God, let us be a people of faith that prays for each other. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, they are getting a song of invitation in just a moment. Would there be one in the building today that would just be honest, preacher? I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure what it means to know Christ as my Savior. But I really would like to, and I don't want to die lost without Christ, and I sure would like to know him. You could know him
just as you are right there today. There'd be one somewhere that'd say, "Preacher, I'm just not sure heaven would be my home if something were to happen. Pray for me." Anybody anywhere? Anyone anywhere? How many of us in the building would be honest? We need to pray more for our nation. Would you just lift up those hands all over the building? All over the building. As they sing this invitation, you may not can kneel, but you may just want to come and stand. But how many would come and meet us around this altar this morning and say, "God, we're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for America. We're going to pray, God, for our country. And we're going to pray for our community governments, our community leaders. God, we're going to pray for our church. We need revival in this land." How many of you would start coming as they begin to sing? You just mind the Lord all over the building. And you just start coming all over the building. You just start coming. That's right. You just start coming all over the building. We need to pray for our communities. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our churches.